This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now, here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet in Seattle. Hey, Jet.
Dr. John, how you doing today?
Tired.
Yeah, well.
Tired.
Days are getting longer.
Yep, and next week we get daylight savings over.
Yep, so we lose. That's the worst day of the year. We lose that hour of sleep.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've lost a lot of hours of sleep, so I'm kind of getting used to it.
Yeah, so you're used to it. You're gearing up for daylight savings time is what you're saying?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe you're becoming a vampire.
Yeah, that could be.
Be careful. Make sure you can still see yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt. And I guess, of course, that means if I'm a vampire, I can't be up during the day.
Well, maybe you're just kind of like hunkered in your bunker studio down in your house. And you're not getting any daylight in there.
No, that's true. Good point.
Got to be careful with these things, John.
I know.
Watch out for the garlic.
Yes, agreed.
So let me recap a second here, because you were saying, I think, last week that you'd been in contact with some of your contacts in New York.
Yeah.
And what intel did you get from them when you were
The big thing is, it looks like Joe Douglas likes big guys, where it's an offensive line or defensive line. And so it's like, I think that's going to be one of their choices. It's a matter of picking which one first, which one second.
Right. So, but you think that's where they're going with both picks?
I think so, yeah. No, they could.
Go ahead,
go with Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame.
Yeah, I thought Saleh's response was kind of interesting. You know, he certainly didn't summarily dismiss it, which of course is wise.
Yeah,
he's wanting to keep everybody on their toes anyway. But I definitely would like to see them pick him up. I think he can be a game changer, particularly how the game is played now. And I think safeties such as him, kind of a unicorn type, are becoming increasingly valuable. So I really don't have that much of a difficulty with them grabbing him in the fourth spot.
Right.
Although I will say there are a few other good safeties.
Yeah, but he may not be there by the fourth spot. Detroit could take him.
Well, that's true. Or Houston, for that matter.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, but I think the nice thing about this draft, and certainly where the Jets are situated, is there's enough good players that are you know, interspersed around that the Jets can have their pick of in any positions. And also, you know, at important positions. Like, they've got, whether it's the first round or second round, they've got to come away with an edge rusher.
Agreed, 100%.
I think that's paramount in this particular draft. And everything else, I think, you know, is great, you know, and just pick, you know, high-quality players that you can hopefully plug and play, and you can keep them in your lineup for 5, 7, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most important part. But they've got to get themselves an edge rusher, either in the first or second round.
Yeah, that's, and I think that's important because, again, you got a 4-3 defense. I mean, you need pass rush. They don't have much pass rush. And so it's like, I think that that's why I say, you know, it's going to be an offensive tackle or an offensive lineman, maybe not necessarily a tackle, and then also a defensive end.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's probably a good move. I really don't want to see them take a receiver that high.
Yeah, I agree.
Certainly not the fourth pick, but the 10th pick, because I just don't think there's any, you know, consensus number one receivers, and I think there's plenty that they can get, you know, later on in the draft. And of course, we'll see what they do in free agency. But yeah, I really don't want to see. Well, okay, what do you think they're going to? Do you think they're going to hang on to that 10th pick, or do you think there's any traction to the rumor that they've been floating around that they may try to dial back with the 10th pick?
They could, but you hear that from every team, so it's like
sure.
You don't know whether to believe it or whether not to believe it. I mean, every team leaks out. It's like, oh, yeah, well, we could trade back and get a player. But it's like, I think if you're going to be the Jets, you need the best player available. And if you have the 10th pick, make the 10th pick, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I know you're not a big proponent of dropping back anyway, but I would agree. I think this pick, you are situated, especially those first four picks, but you're still sitting nice in the third round as well. But with those first four picks that they have in the first two rounds, you've got to knock those out of the park.
Right.
This is where you're you know, last year's draft was a start, but this year is, I think, the fulcrum draft for this franchise, for, mm-hmm. for the Douglas franchise. And he's got to hit on those four picks. Whatever he chooses, he's got to hit on them. And he's certainly got the opportunity to do so. How about free agency? What do you think they're going to look in free agency?
Well, they got to look, I think, on defense more than anything else.
Yeah.
Cornerback, yeah. You know, that's going to be a key. You know, if they take care of the offensive line in the draft, then they don't necessarily have to do that. And I'm still not sold on their running back position.
I know you're not, but actually, yeah, I would like to see them pick up a running back in free agency,
mm-hmm.
And that way it kind of saves. Unless they saw somebody that they really liked in the Senior Bowl that they want to try to scoop up, maybe in the fourth or fifth round, take a flyer on them or something.
Right.
I'd be perfectly fine with that because I think they can get good value there. But I think they also, I agree, either pick somebody up new or. Do you think they might consider bringing back Tevin Coleman?
No, they could. I don't know if that's going to be great, but I think they need to do better.
No, I don't think they need great. I just think they need a compliment. I think they need a compliment.
Yeah.
And I think they're heading in the right direction, and I don't think they need to, you know, spend big money. Surely don't need to you know, bring in somebody like Le'Veon Bell.
No, Le'Veon
Bell.
Because
we know how, you know.
It's a waste of time.
Oh, God. Yeah, and it's just gotten worse. Mm-hmm. You know, to talk about somebody that just kind of misplayed his hand all the way around. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah,
but I agree. I hope that they build up the defense mostly through free agency and get a couple of again playmakers. I think they need to get this first four. I think they need to pick up two playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'd love to see them pick up an edge rusher, and maybe Hamilton would be wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm not completely sold on a tackle necessarily with the fourth pick. But if Hamilton doesn't fall that far, then I could be okay with that. But I definitely would like to see them pick up. You know, I thought was intriguing, and this is, I've been saying this months ago before the season even ended. I wouldn't really be upset if they picked up that center from Iowa,
mm-hmm.
Because whether they get him or hopefully somebody else. They've got to develop a center because, you know, McGovern's on the last year of his contract. Don't know how he's going to bounce back from the knee injury. He did play well and fit into the system last year, but we'll see how he comes back. He's, what, 30, 31? And if they do pick up a center, you know, they can always slide him to right guard. So I really would like to see them pick up a young center. And if not plug and play this year, then groom him for next year.
Right, right.
I think that would be a very good move, a necessary move. Now, whether they spend as much capital on the kid from Iowa or not, I don't know. I really like that kid from Boston College. He's a guard, but I know they were working him out at center, Zion Johnson. But I don't know if he's going to last into the second round. That could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the offensive linemen are going to go pretty well, particularly the way that some of them ran this yesterday at the combine and all that stuff. And again, I think it's looking from what we see from the combine to be a better draft than we even expected.
It's going to be deep.
Yeah.
It's going to be good, but I think it's going to be deep.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to get
There may not be any great players.
Exactly.
But it looks like it's a deep draft. I would agree.
Exactly. I mean, you've got a lot of meat and potato guys here that can fill your roster for 5, 7, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you need to fill out a roster. Because there's not a whole heck of a lot of playmakers here,
yeah.
But there's a lot of quality, so it's going to be a fun draft to watch. It's also going to be interesting what Philadelphia is going to do.
Yeah,
they can really work the board if they want to.
Three first round picks, yeah.
Yeah, and they're in an interesting spot because you know they may very well be where somebody wants to grab a quarterback or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's going to want to move up to 10 for a quarterback in this draft.
I think it's debatable. Yeah, I really question it right now. It just doesn't look good. I mean, you can get a quarterback with 8.5-inch hands, which of course means he's going to fumble a lot. Malik Willis seems to be the one that's the hottest quarterback right now. But all of a sudden it used to be, it looks a little bit like Lamar Jackson. Now they're saying he looks like Cam Newton.
Well, as long as he's well.
Cam Newton in his beginning days.
Yeah.
Not Cam Newton now.
Yeah, the non-New England years. Well, it'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting how the free agency and trade deadline quarterback carousel works, and who ends up, you know, on the game of musical quarterbacks, who ends up without without the quarterback chair. And, of course, that could make them more desperate for the draft, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's your feeling on Robert Saleh?
I like him.
Yeah.
I like him. And I'll tell you why. I thought he did an excellent job keeping that team and that clubhouse together last year because things were horrific there, particularly in the middle part of the season when the bottom just fell out of that defense.
Right.
And, I mean, that whole season just could have gone south in a very ugly way. But, you know, quite frankly, they did rally. You know, the offense started clicking. LaFleur started doing a much better job. You know, when White and Flacco came in there, and then, you know, Zach Wilson wasn't great, but he didn't seem to keep making the same mistakes, and he was improving on some of the problems he's having. Like, for example, when he first came back, that was the one game. I mean, he was just bouncing those 7-yard passes, you know, off the AstroTurf, couldn't hit anybody. He rectified his footwork and was able to make those plays, checking down. So there, the offense improved as the year went along. The offensive line improved, of course, I think because the quarterback play improved also. But more importantly, they were able to somehow stabilize that defense a little bit. And to do something like that, especially with the roster that they had, with so many guys on one-year contracts, and everybody, you know, looking to play for this year and for another contract, you know, these guys weren't totally selling out and, you know, trying to play hero ball. They seem to finally get a little bit of a handle on the scheme. And that defense, well, not great, certainly wasn't as, you know, historically bad as it was for that first, you know, first three quarters of the season. And given the fact that, I mean, they were pulling guys off of the street, you know, it wasn't that bad. But I think the important aspect of this is Saleh was able to keep them all together. And the bottom didn't just fall. Look at the difference between the, look at the difference between the Jets and the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay, because the Giants season just went south when they had all of their problems, and Judge couldn't keep that locker room together, and quite frankly, he was almost, you know, as big a part of the problem as the people on the field, whereas Saleh, on the other hand, was able to keep it together. And I think that's because you got everybody rowing in the same direction, and that's why my hat's off to Saleh, and I think there's some promise there.
Yeah.
Now, I think part of the problem last year is you had too many first-year guys. You had too many young players, too many first-year coaches. You didn't have, like, a Wade Phillips, you know, some avuncular uncle, you know, kind of calming everything down in the background. Everybody was a first-year coach for the most part. And I think that caused there's huge learning curve. And I think you saw a lot of inexperienced mistakes, you know, clock management, play selection, down and distance type stuff along the way, and probably stuff, you know, behind the scenes that we don't know about. For example, letting too many cooks in the kitchen to deal with Zach Wilson. That may have been a bit of an inexperienced mistake as well.
How much do you miss Adam Gase?
You know, John, you stay up at night for your own reasons.
Yeah.
I stay up at night for my reasons. I think I finally put Adam Gase to bed, but, you know, honestly, I lost a lot of sleep with that man, and I'm glad he's no longer in my universe.
There you go.
But, you know, that's just me. I could be wrong. You know, he could bounce back and become the next Bill Belichick. You know, I could be wrong. He is a true leader of men, that's definitely for sure.
Right.
But, no, that's why I give Saleh a lot of credit. He definitely he kept everything together. And boy, that was not a an easy situation last year.
So no, I can imagine.
I think there's potential there.
Okay. Hey, well, Jet, thank you for the phone call.
All right. Take care, John, and hope you get a good nap today.
Okay. Sounds good. 866-979-ESPN 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Gil in Bothell. Hey, Gil.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, just a quick question. Just want to know if the Seahawks backup quarterback plan has been going to go with Geno or you know, draft or free agent.
Well, they have Jacob Eason, but I don't know if he's going to be ready to be the backup. Pete Carroll said this week at the Combine that he'd still like to see Geno Smith come back. But other than that, I mean, they can still look around and see what minimum salary quarterback they could end up having as a veteran if they don't bring Geno back.
Who would be if they bring someone veterans, like somebody?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. There's a whole list of guys right now available, so it's like to pick anybody out of that list. It's impossible to say this early because free agency hasn't even started yet.
What about on the running back situations? Are they keeping Rashad Penny?
I think they should, yeah. But because, again, he's not going to make more than $6 million in free agency. Because you look at the last 2 years, as far as unrestricted free agency, Melvin Gordon got $8 million. That's 2 years ago, and that's the most for any unrestricted free agent. And then last year, Drake going to the Raiders for $5.5 million. So you have to figure that if you're looking at what's going on with Penny, it's going to be $5 million, maybe less.
How are they going to spend the money on free agents? Are they more than defense or offense?
I think they'll split it. I mean, they got to get offensive linemen. They've got to get the two big things they've got to do is see about getting Quandre Diggs back, see about getting DJ Reed back. I think those are two of the most big items they had to do, and then decide where they stand with Dwayne Brown.
I heard the rumors of the Giants running back, Sean Barkley. Is that going to be traded, or is that just the rumors out there?
No, I mean, I think they're shopping him, and they'll be willing to get something for him. But I don't know if anybody wants to pick up his contract, particularly with the injuries that he's had.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, they may have the plans to do something, but I think in the end, I don't think anything's going to happen. I think he's going to be there with the Giants.
And where do you think Jimmy will land? Yeah, and obviously he's going to get traded, but do you think he's going to Pittsburgh or somewhere else?
Who's that?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo, it's a tougher one now because of his surgery on his shoulder, because now he's not going to be able to throw for 16 weeks.
Okay. Thank you, John. I appreciate your call. I hope you feel better.
Okay, Gil. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bob in Bellevue. Hey, Bob.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. You're a legend on the radio. Always a privilege talking to you.
Thank you so much.
No problem. I got a question for you. I'm a huge football fan. I love it. And I just got off my a Zoom call with my cousins down in Ensenada, Mexico. And they were asking me, and I have to ask you this question, do you think in the possibility in the next 10 years that Mexico, around the northern parts like Ensenada, the beautiful beach areas, or even Mexico City in the south, possibly get an NFL team?
I doubt it. I think right now the NFL is very happy to have 32 teams, and to get another franchise, that would be expanding and doing that, and I don't think the league wants to do it.
It is so popular down there. I mean, of course it's soccer, but then the next sport is football.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, he goes to the Mexico City every time. It doesn't matter what team it is. If they're playing an NFL game there,
right.
couldn't, they didn't do it. And I'm like, wow, that would be cool. I was just imagining because, like, have you ever been to Ensenada, Mexico?
No, never have.
Okay, well, it's just
Tijuana is the only Mexican place I've been to.
That's the town you skip.
Yeah.
Keep on trying. Go further south. Well, anyways, it's just all beach.
Uh-huh.
All beachland. And I was just daydreaming if they built like a stadium just right there by the beach. That would be awesome.
Uh-huh.
It would be, I don't know. You're saying no way. They're happy with what they got right now.
Yeah, because again, it's like, you have 32 owners. They're making a lot of money off of TV, making a lot of money on revenue, all those different things. And I don't think they want to disrupt that.
Do you think we could sign Do you think Chris Carson's career is done?
No.
I haven't heard any news from him.
No, again, it's like they're still optimistic that he's going to come back from neck surgery. But again, it's neck surgery. You still worry about
that. And do you think Bobby Wagner is going to be okay with, because he is negotiating himself. I guess he's an awesome business guy. Do you think he will agree to negotiate his contract?
I would have to think so, because again, it's not like if he's cut, he's going to get an $18 million contract on the street. That's simply not going to happen at his age. So it's like, I think his best chance is probably getting the most money out of Seattle and just reworking his deal, taking a little bit less on the base, and then stretching it out and doing voids and things like that to save him some cap room.
Do you ever go on national radio to tell these pundits over there to stop talking about the Russell Wilson BS that they keep on spewing?
Every day.
Thank you, because it is getting old now.
Yeah.
It seems like every year, because I read your article on Northwest.com, and I was just like, yeah, you're right. This is getting pathetic. It seems like if he just says something, the national media goes off, oh, he's going to Pittsburgh. What the hell?
Uh-huh.
So I was just wondering, I wonder if you go on the air and just go over there like, you guys stop it. He's staying here in Seattle.
Yeah, I've said it now for since February of last year.
Dang, and they still don't seem to listen.
No, they
don't.
Wow,
and you're a Hall of Fame writer, and it's 50, coming from 50, you. I would be like, okay, well, it's done. That's a done story then.
50 hey, years of covering the league, and it's the worst story I've ever been involved with. Because, again, nobody stops. They just continue to go on and on and on and not give up on it.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. But I'm thankful that here in Seattle we got someone like you to put a strain on it. Thank you, and have a good weekend.
All right, thank you.
Get some sleep, John.
Okay, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Top of the hour, LeGarrette Blount, former Patriot running back. Went to three Super Bowls and won three Super Bowls. He'll be joining us. He's got a project that I think is really interesting. We'll talk to him about that. But let's go to Mike in Puyallup. Hey, Mike.
Hello, John. How are you doing today?
Hanging in there.
I just had a quick question. We talked about Dwayne Brown.
Yeah.
What about Cam Robinson? I'm not going to lie, I don't know much about the Jaguars, but it seems like they don't let up a lot of sacks. They seem like they can run the ball, and he's a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be maybe too expensive for what they want to spend, but he can certainly be an option.
Okay, yeah, that's the thing I was curious, because I was just more looking at, it seems like he's kind of lower in the rankings of available players. I'm like, yeah, he seems like a solid player.
He is a solid player.
And then you're kind of starting building continuity. Now, the other question is center. Justin Britt, I don't know if you bring him back, but is there a player similar to Justin Britt as a center that, maybe a really solid starter where you can maybe get him on the cheap and then maybe bring Posick back?
Yeah, it sounds like Pete would like to get Posick back. And so, I think there's some centers out there. I mean, I'm just kind of wondering about Brian Allen of the Rams, because the two Ram coaches that are now on this staff, they know him so well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I wouldn't mind Posick coming back, but I would like someone at least to push him a little bit.
To push him, yeah.
Just to make, because it seems like he finished well and he started well the year before, but someone to keep him pushing and going and see what he can come. But yeah, that's. Yeah. And anything about right tackle that you know about, or?
Too early.
Too early, okay.
Yeah, it's too early because, again, we have to see how things sort out as far as franchise tags and, everything else, and then who's available and who's not.
Okay. Now, is Robinson going to get franchise tagged again, or?
Which Robinson?
Cam, sorry, the one I asked you about earlier.
He could.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard. Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to John in Centralia. Hey, John.
Hey, it's Sean, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Hey, John, you know, I totally and have totally agreed with you on this whole Russell thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have a little different spin than a lot of people tend to talk about.
Okay, go ahead, spin it.
These so-called rumors that keep getting out to the national media, I have a feeling, have no proof of this, that Mark Rogers is doing that.
100%. Oh, yeah, I agree.
And not to get him traded, but to keep his name out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's happening all over the United States, any football fan, any football team, who's one of the major people they're talking about? It's either Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. And so I have felt all along that it's Mark Rodgers, and Russell's behind it because he's okay with it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know you get frustrated. I think it's easy to get frustrated. But I think the frustration should be more towards, you know, I feel bad for the people that keep bringing it up. And I know you get bummed about it, and yeah. I understand yeah. why. Mm-hmm. But I still think ultimately the real blame is on Mark Rogers and Russell for allowing it to happen.
Well, that's my opinion. Yeah, but, you know, understand that, you know, Russell has a special relationship with Mark Rogers because once his father passed, he's almost treated Mark like a father figure. And, of course, he's, you know, lets him do whatever he wants to do. And as damaging as it is, what Mark Rogers does, because he has no idea what he's doing, you know, it's like he doesn't stop it. And so it's like, I don't think it's behind, you know, because, you know, Russell wants to stay here. He's only said it
yeah,
eight
mean,
times.
Jay Keeps has, you know, you're not the only one that's been saying that. Jay Keeps has been pushing that mantra since this first came up last year.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
So between the two of you, neither one of you have varied from that.
No.
And so I totally agree with you. And I totally agree with Jake. I'm just saying that I understand why people keep asking the question. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like everything else, John Snyder is going to listen to offers, right? And so, like, the right. story came out the other day that the Washington Commanders, you know, they made a big offer for him, but it doesn't matter. There was no way they were going to trade the guy.
Well, I think John Snyder, like any GM, if they yeah. don't listen, then they ought to be fired for,
yeah.
you know, dereliction of duty. But, yeah, so I think they are going to listen, but that doesn't mean they're going to trade him. I
no.
agree with you.
Yeah, because, again, so, if you trade him, you know, you take a $31 million cap hit and then have no quarterback.
Yeah. No, John, I totally agree with you. I'm just, my point was, I feel bad because you get pissed off.
Yeah. I mean, again, I've been dealing with this now for more than a year.
Well,
I mean, and it's like, will people just give up? I mean, they weren't ever going to trade him.
I think people would give up, except, like I say, when it becomes a national conversation
uh-huh.
each and every day, and somebody not, you know, I mean, we both know. From everybody, and most people know that Russ keeps saying, I want to stay here.
Yeah.
So as long as that's in the conversation, then people should, you know, suspect that it's just rumor mongering to keep his name out there.
Thank heavens with the combine that Pete and John spoke this week. And the five big words that came from Pete were not shopping the quarterback.
Yeah.
And that was important because, again, it puts to rest all this silliness.
Well, it should, but you can bet. You
oh,
can
yeah.
bet. You've been around this for how long?
50 years.
You can bet next week or the week after there's going to be a rumor going out that a serious, you know, I mean, a serious offer, and it's going to play again in the national media.
Oh. But does it drive you, as crazy as it drives me? Probably it doesn't, but again, it's like, but it drives me crazy.
You know what, John? You know, you're a good man. You've got more important things to drive you crazy, worrying about your lovely bride, Pat.
Yeah.
So, you know, just shake it off. Understand that these people are just, you know what, they're Russell fans, most of them, and all of a sudden some new rumor goes out, and you know what, it's just going to happen. You know it is.
I know. It drives me crazy.
All right, have a great day, John. I mean that.
Okay, hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Dre. Dre, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, John. I got a lot of talk, lots to talk about because, you know, let's first get started because of the game in Munich, Germany, to start off the season this year in the NFL. And it's a 70% chance they're saying it's going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But there's a 54% chance it could be the Seahawks playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to start off the season in Munich, Germany. The other teams that are contending with the Seahawks maybe to play against Tampa Bay could be the Vikings, Chiefs, or the Rams, who they might pick. But I'm not sure if they're going to do that. But it looked like it could be the Seahawks versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to start off the season in Munich, Germany, which I think would be great. And when it comes to SoFi Stadium, the Rams and the Chargers, I was just thinking, John, I know the Lumen Field is great. I'm not sure when ever they're going to think about tearing it down and start to build a new stadium. But I just want to get the consensus of anybody that sees the stadium and see all these upgrades, the brand new stadiums all around. And I was just in my head, I was saying, what could be the year if the Seahawks ever did tear down Lumen Stadium and wanted to build a new stadium? Would it be like 2035, 2040, somewhere around there? Am I right or am I wrong?
It'd be a long time because I think they like it at Lumen Field. I think the stadium's maintained very well. I think it's very popular. So they're not going to do anything in the near future to do anything with Lumen Field.
Oh, okay. And I heard you talking the other day about they need to have more offensive plays. Russell Wilson does. I think he only averaged like 55 plays a game. Well, that all starts also with the concerns earlier in the season with the three and outs of the offense. Well, that's what it comes down to. You have to convert on third down. You have to have less three and outs. And they were on a rampant pace the first 5-6 weeks of the season before Russell Wilson got hurt. And that's why they only won time of possession twice this year throughout the whole year. So I think converting, not going for the home run ball all the time, Russell Wilson, do what the defense gives you, I would do that instead of doing. I think he came back too early, John, from his injury to me to a certain extent. But also, when it comes to running backs that are available, Rashad Penny does not, all of a sudden signs with another team. I think a Sonny Michel guy could be in consideration. Remember, he had like a 92-yard game against the Seahawks, and he also, I think, a second meeting, he had 37 yards on 11 carries with a touchdown. But I think I think he's a little bit better than a serviceable running back. But I would love to keep Rashad Penny here at the right price. But I still think he's going to may hold the team hostage to a certain extent, and they're going to have to overpay him to me for them to keep him, even though he's definitely has shown he's injury prone to me. But if the Jacksonville Jaguars, I know it's a different position, can pay $14 million to Shaq Griffin a cornerback spot, I think they overpaid to keep him there to get him there to me. And as far as Roger Goodell's concerned, that state of address of the NFL right before the Super Bowl, I think they'd been better off, John, putting a Dodge truck right there on the stage, because he was dodging more questions than a Dodge truck. And I would love to have the 32 owners of the NFL on the stage with Roger Goodell, because that way we can get some real answers instead of dodging them like a Dodge truck. You know what I'm saying, John?
Right, agreed. I still don't think that you're going to see, you know, big money go to Rashad Penny, because I don't think because remember, two things is that, you know, it's tough for running backs in free agency to get money, and then secondly, this is a really good running back draft.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, rookie running backs in the NFL don't succeed right away, and sometimes you need that 1-2 punch also as well. If you're not able to get Rashad Penny back, you're going to have to sign one from free agency. And that's what I'm saying. If you can have a Sonny Michel and a draft a running back from the draft, okay then. You know, because you need that 1-2 punch, because if one of you have a running back that's injury prone, like Rashad Penny, but you have to have a 1-2 punch like the Green Bay Packers that have with Dylan and Aaron Jones. You have to have the 1-2 punch like Kareem Hunt and the other running back for Nick Chubb with the Cleveland Browns. You have to have that just in case somebody goes down. And unfortunately for the Cleveland Browns, both those guys went down. Russell Wilson is coming back. We all know that. He needs to stay here, even to give him a contract extension after next year. They should get a lot worse to see how I should go 10-7. Because why? Because Russell Wilson will also go over 40,000 yards if he stays healthy next year. He will go over 315 to 320 touchdowns at the end of next year. He has 311 yards away from rushing John Clayton to go over 5,000 yards next year. He's a first ballot to me Hall of Fame quarterback that's going to go at least at worst 10-7 next year. And remember, you don't need 350 yards from Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, John Clayton, is a 270-yard quarterback, 3 touchdowns, and 25 yards rushing a game. To me, 20 to 25 yards rushing a game. And that, to me, people might laugh at that. Well, guess what? He's been like that all for a whole career, and 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, average a year. And that's going to get him first ballot Hall of Fame to the NFL, to me.
I agree 100%. Because, again, it's like, you can't have more success than what you've seen from the career of Russell Wilson here. The playoffs, 2 Super Bowls, all those different things. And last year, you know, you're probably right in saying that he probably came back a little too early, and the team and he paid a price. But again, you can't change how good he's been.
Exactly. And that shock jock radio stuff from all these national guys trying to, you know, get their ratings up by saying, okay, Russell Wilson's going here. They already seen pictures on social media of him wearing a Washington Commandos jersey. And I'm like, what is going on here? This is just an embarrassment. We know exactly what's going on here. Russell Wilson wants to stay here, and hopefully we can get him an extension at the end of next year. But this year, it's all about winning games against the AFC West and the NFC West and the NFC South. That's all we're all concerned about. Let's get it done starting this summer, and let's keep on going on track after that, because to me, it all starts with the offensive line, and it all starts with converting on third down. Once you do that and putting pressure on the quarterback on the opposite side, you have to put pressure on the quarterback, because without putting pressure on the quarterback, well, guess what? You're going to wind up 7-10, and you're going to be outside looking in, talking about shoulda, coulda, woulda. And, you know, it's like I said, John, if them butts were candy enough, I'll be living in Bedford Falls. My name would be George Bailey, and I would have a guardian angel named Clarence. But I don't, John, but it's a wonderful life that I get to talk to you every Saturday morning between 8 to 11. It's always a pleasure, John. Thanks
okay,
for having
Trey,
me.
Okay, Trey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421, ESPN. Let's go to Nick in Tacoma. Hey, Nick.
Morning, John. Just love starting my weekend listening to your show.
Ah, thank you.
Hey, I got a question about our local boy, Eason.
Yeah.
Seems like he's had the worst luck in the world. I mean, he goes to Georgia, gets hurt. Jake Fromm comes in, so he has to sit. Then he gets to come to UW, has to sit another year, goes to the draft, goes to Indy, and then he doesn't get the start then either because they bring in Phillips, and then they bring in Wentz. What's with my boy?
I don't know. It's a matter that he hasn't proven enough yet to be able to get the, you know, teams interested in him to be able to be the quarterback, which I find a little bit crazy because he's got great talent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully he gets a chance somewhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's on the team here right now, so he can get a chance here to be the backup quarterback. But, you know, from what Pete Carroll was saying this week, they may bring back Geno Smith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like he's kind of in this catch-22. He needs experience, but if somebody won't let him.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you can't do too much when you can't get on the field.
Yeah. All right, John.
Okay, what do you like about Eason?
Well, his arm. Mm-hmm. I've watched him play against Herbert at Oregon UW game. I've just never seen a young kid that has such a cannon for an arm as him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know what's up between the ears if that's it, but
no, and I'll tell you what, talking to him at his combine, I mean, he seems sharp to me.
Yeah.
Between the ears, I think he's great.
I guess it's just a little bit of bad luck timing.
Yeah. Hey, it's a tough league, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot, John.
I thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421, ESPN. Top of the hour, LeGarrette Blount from the Patriots, formerly from the Patriots, he joins us.